Good morning.
Welcome all of you to the house of the Lord. We're glad you made it out to worship this morning, and we welcome our guests and visitors this morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. And if you have your bulletins, I just want to go over a few announcements this morning. Under refrigerator news, we have our Bible study tomorrow. And we're looking at Genesis, Genesis chapter 14 for Bible study on Monday. The deacons have their meeting on Thursday. And I also want to say, this is kind of exciting, the cross-generational Sunday school class, we had five people this morning in the cross-generational class. And if you want to join us, you're welcome during Sunday school hour. We're looking at the biblical topics of salvation, the scripture passages that deal with salvation. Had a very good discussion this morning in Genesis. Next week, we're going to be looking at Exodus. So if you want to come, you can prepare by reading Exodus chapters 7 through 14 to prepare for next week. Sunday at the cross-generational class, for those of you who don't know, is third room down from the aisle over there. So we look forward to seeing you there. Also, I have this announcement here about Children's Church. The fourth Sundays now, there will not be Children's Church on the fourth Sundays. Instead, we're going to have Children in the Pew. And let me just read what this is. We have a children's worship center in the back of the sanctuary. Children can take a container to use during worship service. Each container has a children's worship bulletin, crayons, books, and toys. The white containers are for children ages 2 to 6 years old, and the red containers are for ages 7 through 10 years old. Please return the container with all its items back in the bookcase located in the back of the sanctuary. And any questions, you can see Rachel. And this is just an example of what the children's worship bulletin looks like. And like I said, that's just for the fourth Sunday of the month. Do we have any, Dave this morning. Dave has an announcement about a board meeting.
Thanks, Pastor. I'd like to give a quick update on the board, the activity with our church board. And it will be quick, not because we're not doing a lot, just because I really am going to cut the words down. First of all, upcoming dates, Piercing Word will be the activity that the presenters for March 15 at 7 p.m. A couple of things with Piercing Word. The program they're doing is Passion the Musical. You might have been here in October of 2018 when they did a program on highlights from Romans. We have a couple of posters that you'll be seeing around the community. If you have access to getting posters out to, let's say, Dutchway, Rob's, Smith Candies, whatever community business, Domino's, where people go in and out, would you ask for one of these? We'll make more if we need them, and we have quite a few right now that we could distribute. Second thing with Piercing Word is we are accepting sponsorship for the program. If you choose to be a sponsor for Piercing Word, on your offering envelope, just put the amount and designate that it is for the Piercing Word presentation. They do charge for their programs. We will take a free will offering the evening of the program as well. But we need and are looking for monies beyond that to help support the program. Next would be the Easter Sunrise Service. We will hold that over at the community park as usual, and there will be a breakfast following the sunrise service. Tickets for that will be March 22nd, 23rd, and April 5th. That's when they'll be on sale. Upcoming, moving along, a Mother's Day luncheon. Now, this is a celebration of women. You don't have to be a mother, just a woman. You are invited to attend that luncheon. The speaker for the luncheon will be Cora Hurst, and Cora will do a chalk talk as part of her program. Pastor Marty mentioned Children in the Pew. This is also an exciting new twist to have our children get more involved with the worship here at our Meyerstown Church of the Brethren. If you haven't picked one of these up, this is a flyer out in the gathering place that lists all of the Sunday school opportunities available to you, older folks than you and younger folks than you. So take a look at this. It's a real nice offering. The Bible school will be held in July, and the co-coordinators are Christine and Rachel. And if you have questions or want to volunteer, please see them. The church website has a link where you can register children to become a part. And can you also register if you want to be a helper or something?
Yeah.
Okay. That can link you right into an area where you can register attendance, and you can register people that will be helping. We have a program scheduled the end of May, May 23. Now that's Memorial Day weekend, we realized. So we were going to have a dinner theater kind of thing, but it's going to be a little squeezed down. We're going to have the theater part, which is a juggler, but the dinner part will be an ice cream social. So I call that dinner anyway. So the ice cream social puts a real nice twist for the beginning of summer, going out and having our picnics, etc. We're also looking to the October for the spiritual renewal services. Jim Bauer, who I believe was a pastor at Mooresville, maybe now he is as well, will be our presenting the series. The Ministers Quartet, November 8th. That's way down the road, but it's a group of local ministers who are well known for the music that they have been presenting to different churches, and we've invited them. It was tough to get in their schedule, but November 8th, we have them booked. Other things that we're planning to do are reinstating payment for our choir and bell directors. When our budget did not permit that, they continued to serve us without any remuneration, any payment at all. And we feel that we are at a point in our church life that we can start to pick up things like that and to do other outreach also. The one outreach that we will be expanding is, might seem small to you, but quarterly we're going to be presenting $50 to the Lebanon Rescue Mission for the work that they do locally. And we are trusting that this is just the beginning and we'll continue to be able to expand our services. The community clothing sale that we used to have, it was a sale that the Women's Fellowship, I believe, organized. We've changed the tenor of that a bit to make it a free community clothing giveaway. And it will be held here at the church, but we will take donations, and it will be advertised to the community in fall. They're looking at October right now, where folks can come and folks in need can get clothing that no one else wants or the original owner doesn't want and use that for their own uses. And a final thing here, well, probably not final, but the church building rental program is progressing. We'll be talking about that in the March 2nd council meeting. It's been approved by the church or the church board, and steps have been taken with lawyers and other people that need to make it official and correct that we're moving forward. The school is called Reach Christian School. They have a website. If you go to that website, they already have photos of our church on their website. So they're feeling that they're ready to Well, they are. They're accepting registration from students for the school. And another, the last celebration that we have listed there is the mortgage payments. We are finished, and we're going to plan a celebration of that event. Dates haven't been picked yet. What it'll be haven't been picked. But our mortgage payments have been paid off. Thank you for your help in getting that accomplished. And finally, want to put in a plug for the church board. We need you folks as a church board, either to talk to us, to join the church board. There are openings in many of the different commissions on the board. We meet once a month officially. There are other things that happen in between. But talk to your church board members. If you don't feel the call to become a member, find out what's going on. Give us your suggestions and your input, and continue to pray for the church board. The church leadership counts on your prayers very heavily. And the final thing I want to add to this is, don't forget the great commission that Jesus gave to his disciples. It was all action. Go, baptize, and teach. And we can't wait and see what's going to happen. We have to be proactive and get out there, just like this program, the programs that we're presenting. They're designed to help bring people into the church, but more importantly, to help to make you feel a spiritual connection to our church. So if you have any questions, see any of our board members, see me, we'd be glad to talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. There are a lot of good activities planned in the church, and also I'll put a plug in too for board members that we need board members, but most of all, we need your prayers for direction and guidance. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Let's take a moment this morning and stand up and greet your neighbor this morning. And following that, we're going to ask us, pray to them, come forward as we sing our opening songs. Let's all stand and sing our opening praise song. The praise team will come forward. We're going to be singing two songs this morning. Shout to the Lord, and how great thou art. Let's sing this for the glory of God.
Thank you.
Join me in the responsive call to worship. This morning, our call to worship is taken from Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Let us pray together in unison the invocational prayer. Let us pray together. Blessed are you, God of heaven and earth, and mercy for our fallen world. You gave your only Son, that all who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen. You may be seated, and the children can come forward for the children's story. All children, please come forward for a children's story.
Just a boy day today. Yeah. Okay, so have you ever felt like you wanted to take a break from school or your family or your friends? Yeah. What would you like to do to get away? Where would you go? So I have this beach ball. Dean, you go ahead and hold it. As you're holding it, you tell me a place that you would like to go to get away.
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay, think about it. Give it to Carter. Where would you like to go to get away?
I don't know.
Either. You don't know either? Nobody knows? Oh, my goodness. Okay. I would like, Georgia would be good this time of year. You know, I think it would be kind of warmer. Anybody else? Where would you like to go? Where do you like to go on vacation?
Beach. The beach.
The beach. That's a wonderful place. How about you?
Like to go to the beach too.
To the beach too. Okay. So we got to get away from to the beach. Now, even when we get away, God is still with us. Did you know that? Everywhere we go, he is with us. And I'm glad that he is. Do you think God would ever take a break from us? Nope. Do you think God will take a break from us? You think he would? Well, we're going to find out if he does or not. So we're going to discover what King David knew about God's presence with us. And this is from, in the Bible, the book of Psalms, chapter 131, verse 7 through 10. Okay, and it describes, King David describes how God is everywhere. You blow that up. All right, we got to put it down. We're going to act out our Bible story, okay? Stand up for me. We're going to act it out. You got to have plenty of room and be careful on the steps, okay? All right, so here we go. Where can I go to get away from your spirit? Where can I run from you? Start running. Here you go. If I go up into the heavens, you are there. If I lie down in the grave, you are there. If I rise with the sun in the east and settle in the west, you are there. With your right hand, you hold me. Put your hands together. Good job. Have a seat. So that was Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. So God just doesn't camp out in one place or another, does he? We went everywhere, didn't we, in that? Yes, we did. So how does it make you feel to know that God is everywhere? Does it make you feel good?
Yes.
How about you? How does it make you feel
good? Yes.
Yeah. It is good. No matter where we go, God is there. So I feel comforted because I know that God is always present. I remind myself that God is by my side. He's my friend and companion, and he loves me without conditions, no matter what I do. He never takes a vacation or a day off, even though we do, right? Yes. He is always there for me. Okay, so we're going to put our hands in the group. We're going to put that down, Dan. Put your hands in. All right, we're going to do our prayer, and at the end, we're going to go, yay, God. Okay, ready? So let's do our prayer. Dear God, thank you for always being with us and for never taking a day off. We can count on you to be there for us, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you ready? One, two, three. Yay, God! All right, you can go ahead and have a seat.
Thank you for that children's story this morning. Let's pray the offertory prayer this morning as we prepare to give our offerings to the Lord. Let's pray in unison. O God, our offerings proclaim that work and worship are one, that life is undivided. Use these gifts for your church's ministries of reconciliation, service, and mercy. Amen. I invite the praise team to come forward as we sing our offertory praise, Amazing Grace. And the ushers can come forward as we take our morning offering.
Thank you.
want to thank the praise team for providing our music this morning. We come to our time of prayer this morning. And in your bulletin, you'll see a list of names this morning that we need to remember in prayer. I want to give an update on a few folks this morning. Continue to pray for George Heller, who is recovering from a fall, an injury, has a couple fractured bones in his neck, so keep him in prayer. And also, continue to pray for Joan Mauser. Joan Mauser, I saw her this past week, and she is receiving chemo treatment right now, so keep her and John in prayer this morning. Along with any others, and if you know of anyone this morning, or if you know of anyone who is having a procedure done, or if anyone needs prayer, if you want to include anybody on the prayer chain, please speak to me. Let's bow our heads for our morning prayer. Lord, as we come into your house of worship this morning, we thank you for the privilege and honor of coming before your holy presence and being in this time of worship. And Lord, everything that we do today in church, help us to be mindful that it is all for the glory of you, Lord Jesus. And the glory for the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for all of us. And God, we pray that we as your church, we as your people, would be inspired to know the message, the gospel message of Jesus Christ for a fallen and sinful world. And Lord, we all know people who need you, who need the church, who need a home church. We pray that we would be that light, to be that witness to the people, Lord, who are losing hope, Lord. They need hope in their lives. We pray that we would become that hope, Lord, for them and give them the message of hope through Jesus Christ. And also to invite them to church. Because, Lord, we know that many people, Lord, just need to be invited into a church home. We pray that we would do that. And, Lord, we lift up the ministry of this church here. We thank you for Brother David giving an update on what the church board is doing. And Lord, we do this all for your glory and honor. We pray that we as a church would be the people that you want us to be. Pray that our activities and our decisions, Lord, would be for your glory and honor, to proclaim the message of hope through Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for our nation right now, for our president and for the leaders of our nation. We pray, Lord, that they would seek your direction, your ways, so that we might be the nation that you want us to be. We pray for our denomination, for the Church of the Brethren, that we would be a witness to what you want us to be in the world today. We pray that we would do that together as a church. We pray now that you would open up our hearts and minds as we open up the Bible into your word. That we would hear, Lord, what you have for us in this message this morning. But more important, we pray that we would receive the message from your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for this time of worship. Pray that you continue to guide and direct us in this time of worship. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. If you're able, I ask that you please stand for the reading of the Holy Word. The scripture text this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11 and 16 through 23. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Holy Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll be reading verses 10 through 11 and 16 through 23. You can follow along with me in your Bibles. Hear the word of the Lord. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. May God add a blessing of the reading of his word. You may be seated. I believe that all of us have one thing that kind of really bothers us. It might be a thorn in the flesh. It might be a weakness that we can think of that kind of really that we struggle with over the years. My thorn in the flesh, when I was in college at least, were my test scores. I was never a good academic student. I never got really high test scores in college, and that bothered me. I could study for a test for 3 hours and get a C. And a guy in my dorm, he'd never crack open a book and he'd get an A. And then I'd be thinking, does my hard work really pay off? Does all the study time really pay off? Will I ever see the results of my work, I thought. Well, I did manage to graduate from college and seminary, but it took a little bit longer than the average student. Later on in my life, soon after I graduated from seminary and into the first church I was at, I discovered that good hard work does pay off. It does pay off. But it only pays off if you know who you're working for. And sometimes we in the church lose our focus on who we're working for. Today we're going to see who we're working for in the church. If you look at your text, and if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3. And in today's text, Paul is speaking to the Christians in the church in Corinth. And Paul tells these Christians one remarkable thing. He tells them that you are the temple of God, in verse 16. Paul tells all the people, you are building up the church. You have that honor. You have the privilege of building up the church. But today, do we believe that Paul is speaking to us as a church today? The answer is yes. To build this church is what we strive to do. It's what we need to be striving to do as people of the church. Richard Neal Donovan, a Disciples of Christ clergyman, comments on this passage of Scripture. And he says this, when God calls us to service, he doesn't abandon us. He works side by side with us. I thought that was really good. That is something that we can take with us today as people in the church. For those of you who have ever served the church in some capacity,
We all struggle sometimes with the question of, does my service really make a difference? Am I making any headway? Am I seeing the difference? Am I seeing any growth, any spiritual growth? Well, Paul would tell you and I today, your service to the church is building the kingdom of God. It's building the church. Why? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." And then he goes on to say, in verse 10, "According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it." So what Paul says here is that Christ is a cornerstone, Christ is the foundation of the church, and Paul lays the foundation. And the first point that we need to see about this text and about this lesson is, what does Paul say about himself? What does he mean by when he says, "I've laid the foundation"? Well, the first thing he says is that it's only by the grace of God that I am able to lay the foundation of the church. And in your inserts, you can put down, it was only by grace that Paul was able to lay the foundation of the church. It was only by grace that Paul was able to lay the foundation of the church. Paul would say, it's not anything of me. It's not my own doing. It was God working through me. Because Paul was a persecutor of the church at first. But that changed when God converted him on the road to Damascus and the Holy Spirit came down upon him. Paul's conversion was only by God's grace and mercy. But what does this say about our service to the church? If you're here this morning and God has given you the gift of some kind of ministry in the church, you can thank him that it was by his grace that you're able to serve. In spite of your flaws and my flaws, our weaknesses, God gave you the gift to serve the church. It was only by the grace of God that you're able to contribute to the church. But every person's spiritual gift from God needs a solid foundation, as Paul says. Look at verse 11, 1 Corinthians 3:11. He says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ, Paul says, is our solid foundation as a church. There's no other foundation for this church except Jesus. No other teacher, no other prophet, no other inspiring preacher. And I will say that churches grow through the preaching of God's word from the Bible, because God's word is foundational. And I strive to remain true to that by preaching God's word as my main text. Paul gives another illustration of how the church is built. Turn with me to Ephesians 2, verse 20. Right past Corinthians, you get Galatians and Ephesians. Ephesians 2, verse 20. Paul gives an illustration here of how the church is built. Paul says, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the church cornerstone." Okay, so you have Jesus Christ as the foundation of the church. Then above that, you have the apostles and prophets who build on that foundation of the church. But Paul tells us today, God tells us, how will we continue to build the church? Now, within the Church of the Brethren, within our church tradition, we don't call our leaders apostles and prophets, like Paul mentions. We in the church today, we have pastors, we have deacons, and we have church board leaders. They are part of laying the foundation. And I will say that leadership in the church is crucial for any church to grow. That's the main point that we find in the insert today. Leadership in the church is crucial for any church to grow. And in order for the church to grow, the church leaders need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Their lives need to reflect spiritual maturity in Christ. This is what the Bible asks. This is what the Bible asks. This is what God asks every person in the church. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul makes a strong statement here. He says, "Do you not know that you, believer, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Paul says, "Don't you know that that's who you are?" So in other words, Paul says the church is not just a building. The church are the people of God. And as a people in the church, we are to reflect the Holy Spirit in our actions in the church and in our lives. So that should lead to this question that each one of us needs to ask ourselves. Am I contributing to the church in a positive way? Am I contributing to the church in a positive way? If you are not, then Paul would say the Spirit of God is not within you. Then the issue is between you and God. And you need to get right with God today. Why is that? Look at verse 17, 1 Corinthians 3:17. If anyone defiles the temple, in other words, if anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So in other words, Paul says there are consequences in our actions in the church. God will bring judgment on that person, for one who brings judgment and brings destruction to the church. What that looks like, only God knows. But the Word of God tells us this. It's like breaking the law. If we break the law of the land, there will be consequences. And if we destroy, if a believer destroys the temple of God, if someone destroys the church with our actions, don't you believe there should be even more consequences? Because this is God's temple. This is God's temple. This is God's holy temple. One biblical commentator says this, and I quote, "Whoever builds a church must build with high quality materials, which include right doctrine, right living that meets God's standards." Paul goes on to say in verse 18, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in his age, let him become a fool that he may become wise." One of the downfalls in the church in Paul's day were people who were deceived with wise and smart people. Somehow, these wise people, philosophers you might call them, they managed to get into the church and teach worldly things. And these leaders, these wisdom leaders were leading the church away from their foundation. The Christians in the church saw this in their own city, the city of Corinth. In biblical times, Corinth was a very wealthy city, an important city. There were these impressive temples all over Corinth, made of marble. And inside these massive buildings were teachers who were skilled in speech, called orators. And people were so impressed with them. And Paul says, these people know nothing about the ways of God. They know nothing of the ways of God. He says, don't be deceived by their wisdom. And so that's where Paul says, you need to become a fool in the eyes of these people. Look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So, because God has nothing to do with the wisdom of this world, what does God look for us then? What's left for us since we are not a part of the world? He says in verse 21, therefore, let no one boast in who? In men. In other words, Paul says, don't think too highly of yourself. Don't think too highly of other people. Don't get swayed away by personality. At the same time, we should not, as a church, hang our heads and say, I'm just a nobody. Because the church, the people of God, we as believers, we have the power and authority of Jesus Christ living inside of us. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Paul illustrates this. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Paul says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. So he calls us as Christians in the church to preach Jesus Christ and be servants. There's two parts. We are to preach overall, not just talk about ministers. We in the church are to proclaim Jesus Christ and also be servants. If you're uncomfortable about preaching or telling others, then become a servant for Jesus. The two go together. But we also need to know, when Jesus Christ is preached, there's power and authority from God, and it has nothing to do with us. Our calling is service in Jesus' name. Paul also calls us in the church to be servants for Christ. So this is what I believe Paul is telling this church today, our church today. He's asking us, are you preaching about yourselves, or are you preaching to others about Jesus Christ? Now there's three points in your bulletin that I'd like for you to write down when it comes to what does the preaching of Jesus Christ include? What does the preaching of Jesus Christ include? Overall, it includes proclaiming the gospel message. It's telling the good news of the salvation in Jesus Christ, like we talked about the cross-generational class. So number one, what does the preaching of Jesus Christ include? It begins with the fact that all of us are sinners in need of God's grace. Romans 3:23 as a reference. All of us are sinners in need of God's grace. Now, that first step is a sticking point to many people, because no one wants to admit that they're sinners in need of Christ. And what people like to do is they like to compare their goodness and badness against other people. That way it takes the focus away from themselves. But the bad thing is, many people never come to the realization that they need Christ themselves. It's called spiritual pride. I'm okay. Others are not. When I was pastor of the church in Northern Ohio District, there was a mother of a rebellious 14-year-old son in the church. And she was at her wit's end with him. He was constantly getting in trouble at school. He was getting called into the principal's office all the time because He didn't listen to the discipline of the principal and other teachers in the school, constantly getting in trouble. And his mother was at her wit's end with him, and she asked me to come over to the house and talk to her son. She said, you know, maybe, you know, he's going to listen to you. I thought, wow, this is going to be something. And I was thinking, what's my approach to him? You know, here he is, a 14-year-old kid, constantly getting in trouble at school. How do I approach this? And as I was driving over there to the house, the Lord is leading me to say, ask him if he thinks he's a good person. Because that's the first step for reaching anybody for Christ. You have to ask them, you know, do you think you're a good person? So I sat down with him and I asked him, do you think you're a good person? You know what he said? He said, well, I'm not as bad as all these other kids in school. There are a lot worse kids than me in school. I said, I didn't ask you that question. Don't think of others. What about yourself? Do you think you're a good person? And then I asked him about some of the Ten Commandments. That's another point you need to share with someone. I asked him, did you ever tell a lie? You know, even if it was a, quote, mild lie, if there is any such thing, which I don't think there is. Then I asked him, did you ever steal anything, even if it was small as a pencil? Did you ever dishonor your parents at any time? Did you ever use the Lord's name in vain? And I stopped there because that's four commandments out of ten, and I think he said yes to all four of those, which I'm sure all of us can say at some time. And so he finally admitted that he broke one of those commandments. I'm not sure which one it was. It's not important. But he got to the point where the rest of this was up to him. He found out that, yes, he's a sinner. The rest is up to him. What's he going to do about it? He had to decide if Jesus was going to be in his life or not. And that's where many people are today in their lives with God. They broke one, two commandments, maybe three, but they never asked Jesus to come into their hearts and lives. And there are many people today who never get past the fact that they need a Savior in their lives. Well, maybe because no one explained to them the message, the next step. The next step in salvation is confession and forgiveness of sin. Confession and forgiveness of sins. And if you want to write this reference down, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, where the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the third step of salvation is that God loves us. God loves us. God loves a sinner. God accepts us when we're broken. When we know that we broke the commandments, and when we confess that need to God, that we need Christ, God loves us. When we reach our end, when we think there's no hope, God loves us. God accepts us in our brokenness. And we are broken people today in many ways because we live in a broken world. And if we in the church want to reach out to others as people in the church, we need to admit that we are broken people ourselves. We need Christ just as much as people outside the church. That's the only way we can reach people for Christ, looking within our own need. This is very crucial in building up the church for Christ. As Paul would say, the central goal of building up the church is to lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and the gospel message is the one we're working for. He's the one who we're building for. He's the one we're serving for with all of our church activities. May we all take to heart the need for the gospel message to be made known, first within ourselves and then to others, and God will provide the increase. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being your church, of being your people. And we pray, Lord, this morning, we confess to you, Lord, that we have all sinned, we have broken one or two or three commandments. But we know, Lord, that when we confess our sin before you, that you forgive us, and that you love us, and that you accept us. We pray that we as a church would know the gospel message of salvation and how important it is in reaching out to others. And may it begin with us as your people. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing praise song is a song of salvation, Come As You Are. And if you need prayer for anything this morning, the altar here is always open. You can come forward and I can pray for you. Let's all stand and sing our closing song together, Come As You Are, and remain standing for the benediction. Now, if you turn in your bulletins, we have a responsive benediction this morning as we leave here today. We came to worship. We go now to serve. We have been given the light. We go now to let it shine. We have been blessed by God's love. We go now to share it. We are Christ's disciples. We go now to witness to all. Amen.